So, about a year ago, I made a resolution with myself to read the Bible from cover to cover, and I began, as most people do, with the Old Testament, and I eventually worked my way up through the Old Testament, through the Gospel, and it took me a few months to do it, but I eventually, I read all the letters, the prophets, the poetry. Now, this doesn't mean that I studied the Bible per se. I simply read the book as it was, and I tried to follow along as best I could. Now, the final book in the New Testament, at the very end of the Bible, so this is like the final installment in some great epic, is the Book of Revelation. And the Book of Revelation is even more apocalyptic than the Book of Genesis because, unlike the book of Genesis, this time God doesn't rebuild the earth, okay? He doesn't rebuild everything. You see, what happens in the book of Revelation is the angels come down from heaven and declare that those that did not know God previously, who now declare their love and belief in God, will be saved. And in doing so, they will be brought up to heaven during Armageddon. And those who turn away from God will be left to deal with the ruins of the earth, so to speak.
This may be the most important prophetic spot in the entire Bible because the final act of the book of Revelation is going to begin right here at this place. The Bible teaches that Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Turkey, and other nations will come down under a UN flag and they will invade Israel at this particular point. Can you imagine? Thousands of tanks out here in this valley, rumbling, fighting, firing. Can you imagine jet airplanes screaming overhead?
Now, the Bible is a very big book, okay? It's a great epic, one might say, and it tells a very, very long, complicated story that is open to massive interpretation. In fact, one of the things that struck me very heavily when reading the Bible is just how little filler there is, okay? There's absolutely no filler in the Bible. Like, you know how most contemporary television and movies and whatnot, you can oftentimes lose focus because they fill it up with filler content, long shots of people staring off into space or, pointlessly melodramatic emotional moments. Well, the Bible is kind of the exact opposite. The Bible can be hard to follow because it just hits you the whole time. It just gives you names, facts, dates, locations. It just one after the other, after the other, after the other. And another thing that really struck me about the Bible, and this relates to what we're going to be talking about in today's video, is the Bible is very compartmentalized into different sections. And I'm not talking about just in terms of the story, but I'm talking about in terms of the tone. Like, for example, one of the most famous examples that people who have never read the Bible know about is that the Old Testament has a more barbaric tone, whereas the New Testament tends to be a little bit softer, a little bit, God doesn't seem as angry in the New Testament. Speaking of, you see, there is a massive difference, a huge difference between the Gospel of the New Testament and the Book of Revelation, known as the prophecy, at the end of the New Testament. You see, the Book of Revelation is like the angry God of the Old Testament, but 10 times worse. And not just God, but Jesus too. In the gospel, in the first part of the New Testament, Jesus is walking around performing miracles. He's this, lovely guy with long hair. He's Jesus, right? Everyone loves Jesus. He's a benevolent figure. But not so much in the book of Revelation. In Revelation, Jesus has 7 eyes, and he's represented as a lamb, like a slain lamb. And he sits up in heaven and watches gleefully as people get sent down to hell. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the lamb, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest, day or night. Okay, so Jesus is up in heaven, and the screams of those in hell is like converted into ashes and goes all the way up to heaven, where Jesus will watch forever. So yeah, that is the book of Revelation. Very, very charming, isn't it? In fact, I feel like I'm not doing it justice. There's angels, there's dragons, there's ghostly spirit animals. Go on YouTube and take a listen to the audiobook if you want. In fact, I'll play a quick little 30-second extract so you can see what I'm talking about.
Revelation 12. Something important appeared in the sky. It was a woman whose clothes were the sun. The moon was under her feet, and a crown made of 12 stars was on her head. She was about to give birth, and she was crying because of the great pain. Something else appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and a crown on each of its 7 heads. With its tail, it dragged a third of the stars from the sky and threw them down to the earth. Then the dragon turned toward the woman, because it wanted to eat her child as soon as it was born. The woman gave birth to a son, who would rule all nations with an iron rod. The boy was snatched away. He was taken to God and placed on his throne. The woman ran into the desert to a place that God had prepared for her. There she would be taken care of for 1,260 days. A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels were fighting against the dragon and its angels, but the dragon lost the battle. It and its angels were forced out of their places in heaven and were thrown down to the earth. Yes, that old snake and his angels were thrown out of heaven. That snake, who fools everyone on earth, is known as the devil and Satan.
So, yeah, the story of the Bible takes place primarily here on Earth, and it tells the story of humanity. And then as the Bible kind of progresses, we get the story of Jesus and the miracles he performed. This is what the majority of Christians focus on. The majority of Christians focus on the gospel. Evangelical Christians, however, the evangelical Christians in the United States, they focus mostly on Revelation at the very end of the Bible, which departs massively away from the love of Jesus and focuses more on the wrath of God. All right, this is where the term born-again Christian comes from. Have you ever heard about 666 and the mark of the devil? All of that stuff is in the book of Revelation, right at the end of the Bible, where the tone shifts massively away from the love of Jesus, right? Now, the problem with evangelical Christians is not only do they believe the world is going to end, but they actually believe that they're going to get beamed up to heaven, like literally on a cloud, and everyone else is basically going to be left here on earth to kind of, you know, clean up the mess, right? You know, everyone who's not born again is going to be cast into the lake of fire that the earth is going to become. And, you know, not only do they look at this as a good thing because they get to go to heaven, but it's also a case of I told you so. Because in America, the evangelical Christians fall on the right side of the political culture war over there. So all of the people who oppose them politically are going to get their just comeuppance when the rapture happens, you know, when Armageddon happens, when the earth opens up and the lake of fire springs out, and they're getting beamed up to heaven, where they're getting beckoned up to heaven by God and the seven-headed Jesus, they get to look down and say, ha ha, told you so. So there's also a political element kind of wrapped up in it as well. Now, it's a very complicated issue, and I don't have time to explain it in this video, but if you've ever wondered, why does the Christian right have such a love for Israel? Like, what is all that about anyway? And again, it's a complicated issue. I don't have time to go into all of the specifics, but the point is, it says in the book of Revelation, and it is kind of backed up by the rest of the Bible, that the city of Jerusalem must remain in the 12 tribes of Israel. It must remain in the hands of the Israelis. It can never fall into the hands of any other quote-unquote foreign culture as described in the Bible, right? And because so many of the most powerful people on Earth, okay, Donald Trump's cabinet and, you know, United States politicians that are in the Senate, the House, whatever, you know, these people basically control the planet. So their evangelical Christian teachings teach them that they have to ally themselves with the modern Israeli government. And it's kind of an interesting conundrum because many of the people in the United States government actually want the rapture to happen. So they are actually going to promote policies that actually result in the world ending. You know, Lindsey Graham, who's a diehard evangelical Christian, you know, he wants a nuclear war with Iran because it brings about the rapture that much quicker. You think I'm exaggerating? People listening probably think, no, you're exaggerating. They're not that crazy. You are wrong. You would be wrong. But the kicker to all of this, though, the kicker to everything I've said thus far in my video is that I do think that Donald Trump is an atheist, okay? I don't think he believes in God, and he's certainly not an evangelical Christian. Now, I don't have Trump derangement syndrome, okay? I think that there are some benefits to Donald Trump getting elected, but what I will say is that I do think that Donald Trump, you know, people talk about how he's a narcissist, right? Oh, he's a megalomaniac, which is definitely true. But I would say that Donald Trump is almost solipsistic in his worldview. And it's reflected in the way he rewards people based on loyalty, which is something that leaders have often done. You know, the most powerful people throughout history have often rewarded people because they were loyal. Because in their mind, the only real thing is them. So at an emotional level, the only thing that they can truly empathize with is themselves. And that's why loyalty to them is the only thing that truly penetrates their souls. Like, oh, you are loyal to me, the only real thing in this world. Therefore, I will reward you. That's how people, a lot of people like Trump, think. And like I said, it's the only thing that's really stopping the people beneath him, you know, the evangelical Christians, for being like, you know what, let's just drop a nuke on Iran. The military-industrial complex will benefit while we're alive, and when it all goes south, we'll get beamed up to heaven anyway. Now, maybe I'm biased here, you know, maybe I'm just too white-pilled, but I kind of like the Earth, you know. I do believe that the Bible was written by fallible men. You know, the evangelical Christians like Pastor Hagee believe that the world will be gone in 4 years. They believe that we're feeling the first tremors of the rapture right now. No, we're not. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm just one guy. I don't know what the future of humanity is, but I very much believe that if you take humans out of the equation, the Earth would remain here for a very, very, very long time. And, you know, right now I don't have a family, but maybe one day I will. And I find it just a little bit disconcerting that my children and their children and their children, that everything that happens is going to be left in the fate of these people.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God. We know that the times are in your hands and we give them to you. But we also, Lord, are astute enough to recognize the blossom on the fig tree is opening. The day is at hand, Lord, when your return will come nigh. Nothing is more important than bringing sheep into the fold and bringing new life into the kingdom. Lord, you are the one who chooses us. We don't choose you. You choose us. And there are young people, Lord, that are to be chosen. You have gone, Lord, and you have plowed the field. You have planted the seed. You have watered it. You have weeded that garden, and the harvest is at hand. And I pray, Lord, that...
And I know what some people will say. Some people will be like, oh, no, it's the Muslims. They're the ones that have the bad religion. And it's like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I haven't read the Quran as of yet. But, you know, in my admittedly uneducated opinion, the worst of their religion is conquest, okay, not annihilation. They want to conquer the world that presently exists, all right? Like, at least as far as I know, they don't want to destroy the world forever because they believe that when it gets destroyed, once God initiates it or once Allah initiates it, then they'll get beamed up to heaven. Like, I know some of them believe some crazy stuff, but besides, they're not the ones with the nukes, right? Even if their religion is just as bad, they're not the ones with the really big nukes, okay? It's just, it's very disconcerting. And by the way, one last thing. I don't even think it's likely to happen, okay? I'm not saying that I think that these people are going to start Armageddon. I just find it disconcerting that the only thing that's stopping them from doing so is that the people at the very, very top of the planetary hierarchy are motivated by greed, and they want to be alive as long as possible to enjoy it.